Speak on it.
To the chase, some women were made, but me, myself, I like to think that I was created for a special purpose. Now, what's more special than you? You feel me? It's on, baby, let's get lost. You don't need to call into work, 'cause you the boss. For real, want you to show me how you feel. I consider myself lucky, that's a big deal. Why? Well, you got the key to my heart, but you ain't gon' need it. I'd rather you open up my body and show me secrets you didn't know was inside. No need for me to lie. It's too big, it's too wide, it's too strong, it won't fit. It's too much, it's too tough. He talk like this 'cause he can back it up. He got a big ego, such a huge ego. I love his big ego, it's too much. He walk like this 'cause he can back it up. Usually I'm humble, right now I don't choose. You can leave with me or you could have the blues. Some call it arrogant, I call it confident. You decide when you find out what I'm working with. Damn, I know I'm killing you with them legs, but yet them thighs. Matter of fact, it's my smile or maybe my eyes. Boy, you a sight to see, kinda something like me. It's too big, it's too wide, it's too strong, it won't fit. It's too much, it's too tough. I talk like this 'cause I can back it up. I got a big ego, such a huge ego. But he love my big ego, it's too much. I walk like this 'cause I can back it up.
Should we wait for a couple people?
Not like relevant to the world. I feel like it's relevant to what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Over like the we've been talking a lot about like editing and like what's it called? Ego. Mm-hmm. Right? I feel like ego is like the elephant that, well, we've mentioned it, but we haven't necessarily addressed it fully. Like, what role does ego play in art?
Right.
And how much of a role should it play in art? I feel like there are moments in, like, my career where I'm caught up in, like, accolades and achievements and winning slams. Or like, you know, what people deem as success. Like, you know, oh, this so-and-so is on Button Poetry. Or, like, you know, so-and-so has, like, makes this amount of for a gig. So what role does ego play in art? And this is for everybody.
I mean, it plays such a pivotal role, but I don't know. There's a lot about it. I think you need a certain amount of ego to even just do it, you know, to even just like, let's say in the scenario of poetry slam, you need a certain amount of ego to believe that your work is valued enough for it to be heard. right? Speaking in public is the biggest fear in our society. So when people are able to sort of get over that fear, what is that thing that makes them overcome that fear? And I think for a lot of time, and does ego have another word, right? Is ego, are ego and confidence the same thing?
Rami, I know you just joined. Were you just talking about what role does ego play in art?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Shad, you look like you want to say something.
I feel like, especially in art, in a lot of things, you need a bit of an ego just to be like, because like, otherwise, like in slam poetry, right? You're going up to perform your poetry in front of however many, right? You have to have some type of ego, quote unquote, confidence maybe. I think confidence might be what you need. Ego is like, you have to have ego just to like know that even if everyone is doubting you, right? Your ego is what's like, all right, yeah, dude, I don't care what they say. I'm doing me, you know? That's my thoughts on it.
Rami T, what are your thoughts?
I think that.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Rami, you go first.
No, that's okay.
Canadian standoff.
Canadian standoff. No, you please.
And they both muted themselves too. Like, wow. T, you go first.
That's so funny. Oh boy. So ego, I think it plays a big role, especially within confidence, because I tuned into Lex's workshop today, and she talked about like one of the greatest pitfalls of like artists, and one of them is being like conservatism, like, you know, being too like shy or like hoarding in your work and like not sharing it with the world, right? Mm-hmm. But then like the extreme is also like a downfall, like the grandiosity of like developing the big ego and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. you need that in yourself to push yourself to like, you know, continue putting stuff out there despite, because like again, when you put your artwork out there, it's like it's open to anything, criticism, applause, scrutiny. Right, but you still gotta kind of overcome that, I think.
I feel that. Rami, it's on you.
Ego in art, right? So, in my art, it's complicated. So, basically, what I do, right, to motivate myself, what I do, I make sure I have absolutely zero levels of ego whatsoever, just so I can push myself, so I can say that I deserve the ego that I have. It's complicated and weird, but that's what I do. It's very unhealthy, but yeah.
Can you say that again?
Pardon?
Can you repeat that?
Okay. Like the role of ego in art, in my art, I make sure I don't have any levels of ego at all, so I can push myself to say that I deserve the ego that I will eventually have.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. So philosophically speaking, Aristotle spoke about the ego. There's like the egoist. It's like a certain kind of reasoning that is stronger. It's not like a egotist. You know what I mean? The ego can be referred to as part of the soul. In Arabic, nafs is the word for soul. But the word for soul could also be related to like the word, like the self, the ego, or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it is important to humble your ego, But I think your ego is necessary for life in all aspects of it, right? How do you get up in the morning? How do you like take on that big job? How do you write that essay that, you know, you probably thought you couldn't do?
No, I agree. And I feel like to take that a step further, like, I feel like I'm kind of the opposite of Rami in the sense where I'm sitting there, like when I'm like writing or approaching something, I'm sitting there like, I'm like, this is like, I believe like I'm one of the, like, I feel like I'm trying to say this in a way that doesn't sound cocky, but and I believe I'm going to lose. I've already lost the race. that in my mind, if I'm running a race and I think I'm going to lose, I've already lost. I believe I have the ability to produce great work. And so, like, I just have to step into the possibility and be like, yo, I'm producing great work. I'm about to wow this crowd. I envision it. I see it. I just step into that possibility, believe it wholeheartedly. And so for me, ego plays. And I think when I don't do that, or I don't live up to the vision or standard I had set for myself, it bothers me in like a very like a substantial way.
Right. Now there's a lot of different studies on, I'm going to sort of disassociate ego from arrogance and perception of that arrogance. So, you know, within the artist's mind, I think that when they're being introspective, there's an element of lack of ego. So like this work is crap. This work is not good. No one's gonna like it. I have to work harder on it. I shouldn't put it out. And I think it's a constant balance between having the confidence to create, to produce, and to show and share that work, and fighting your inner thought that says it's not good enough, it needs more edits, no one's gonna like it. I think that constant battle is important. And the way that I've read it before is that how will you keep on improving if you don't know, if you think that you've already reached the perfect self? You know, this idea that you need this sort of idea that you're not there yet in order to create the next great work that you're going to create. If you were egotistical in that exercise, then perhaps you think everything that you do is great and there will be no growth. But you sort of use that, you know, I wouldn't say self-deprecation, but something along those lines to push yourself further in terms of art. And I know a lot of artists that go through this. Then secondly, in terms of the perception of arrogance, there's a couple aspects. So you see Michael Jordan, and Michael Jordan knows he's the best. Mm-hmm. And we see that he's the best, and everyone knows that he's the best. And it's a very particular way of going about it, because according to studies, people prefer people whose talent is seemingly bigger than their belief of that talent. So, if Michael Jordan was humble and the greatest, we would like him more. But because he's arrogant and the greatest, we still respect him as the greatest, but on a personal level, we might think, oh, maybe I don't want to be friends with this guy. Same thing as LeBron James. I feel like Kobe was pretty arrogant, but not as, he didn't seem as arrogant as Jordan or LeBron. And I believe in terms of how people love him the most. But there's other examples in the world as well. Donald Trump is arrogant and seemingly untalented. So that's like the double negative that apparently, you know, psychologically wise, people don't really like. So, you know, yeah, just in terms of discussions of ego and art, I think that there's a lot there. And we can also talk about the perception of ego from an outsider, and then the perception of ego from the artists themselves. I think those are two different places that we can look at.
And I welcome Amani and Lady M. We are talking about Amani, ego and how it impacts art. Feel free to chime in. Because I also think it's really important to get a female or a woman's perspective on this, because in certain talks, I've also heard that it's easy for, I shouldn't say easy, but in studies have found that women often undersell themselves or attempt to reduce that ego, that or that self-proclaimed greatness. Or it's more frowned upon. Like, for instance, when Michael Jordan says he's the greatest, he's saying the truth. When Serena says she's the greatest, she's quite arrogant.
Facts.
And I feel like I'd love to have that a different opinion rather than just my male opinion on it. So please chime in.
Well, I guess. So I think that when it comes to, like, personally as a woman, I feel like because there is a lot of, like, I feel like before there was a lot of, like, negativity when it comes to, like, being confident and loving yourself and having, like, an ego of saying, hey, I'm the best, or hey, I'm good enough, I'm enough, because, like, that's something that often we kind of, not only we tell ourselves we're not good enough, but others often tell us we're not good enough, like gossip, for example, like in school, like, you kind of sometimes gossip about other people, and that can cause, like, when you hear people talking about you, that can cause your self-esteem to go down, and, like, that causes you to kind of, like, think you're, like, that it kind of ruins your self-worth. So, like, I guess that's one of the reasons why a lot of women have, like, a low ego. But now, because of feminism, and, like, now this day and age, we're starting to, like, love ourselves more and bring back our ego and, like, say, okay, yeah, I'm the best, I'm good enough, I'm great, I'm awesome. So, like, yeah, but I feel like something that I feel it's good to have a healthy ego, obviously not too much, not too little, because either way it can, like, either cause you to fall from, like, a good pedestal, but also at the same time it can make you not able to get to where you could be or what you can be, you know.
Lady M, you look like you wanted to say something. You look like you were talking initially, but your mic was muted.
Okay, so what, just to add to what Amani was saying, it goes back to the fact that for a very long time, women have been living under patriarchal systems, which tell women how they should be, how they should dress, who they should marry, how they should act, whether they should cross their legs, whether they should have children, by what age. So everything has really been dictated to women to play small. So when you do have women who are powerful, they are told to get back into that box that society has created for them. So that's really what it comes down to, is that women are not aggressive, they're not arrogant, it's just walking in their power just as any other person who has talent would. But because they are, you know, coming out of their box of what they should be or who they are expected to be as a woman, then it's now cast into a negative light.
I hear that. But I like what you talk about, but in terms of walking in your power, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it ties back to, like, Ian's question, or the question that you were about to ask, was just about, like, the way the artist is perceived and the way the artist perceives themselves. how do we perceive art? Like, I think in some art, it's like, you know, it's welcome, like hip hop. Like, to say I'm the best in hip hop is, everyone says they're the best. But like, if like a painter came out and said he's the best painter, I think the art world will go into a frenzy. How do you think it, like, different artists are perceived by proclaiming they're the best, walking in that greatness?
Again, it's a very clear line, because everybody can kind of tell if you're the greatest or not. And if you are not the greatest and you are saying that you are the greatest, then we as a public like you less. If Serena can say she is the greatest, Venus, however, can't be going around, walking around saying everything, you know, because her sister's right there. So it's very, but we, you know, we still consider these people really great. I do, you know, I do believe that humility is important. I do think that humility, at least in my own artistic life, has probably limited the growth of my career, perhaps. You know, we think about Instagram, we think about social media, being able to, you know, you take a picture, you show everyone, hey, like my picture, hey, follow my page. This is an exercise in ego, no? They say that social media has increased the amount of mental illness in regards to narcissism in ways that we haven't seen before. Narcissism, ego, are those connected?
But you could also say that social media has also played a role in causing people's self-esteem to go down because of like all these like pictures of, oh, she's so pretty, oh, this is awesome. And then you kind of feel like bad about yourself. But I feel like, yeah.
So then my question would be, when one is feeling bad about themselves, does the ego have a part to play? And is it lack of ego, or is it a appearance of ego? So for instance, right, like, you know, I see this like tall guy on the IG and I'm like, oh, I'm short. I feel bad about myself. Is it an exercise in ego for me to see that and be like, I don't have that? Is it a rhetorical question?
I think that ego is more about your sense of self, whereas your self-esteem is more about your sense of self-worth. Usually that self-worth is tied to comparison, unfortunately. And that's why I think that line gets blurred, because for example, Serena Williams can say she is the greatest because she has met the standard of what is considered great. So therefore, in her own worth and in her own right, her ego is essentially confirmed.
Now, is it interesting that you were talking about self-worth versus ego.
Mm-hmm.
Now, her ego, sorry, go ahead.
Self-esteem. Yeah, those are different. I think self-esteem and ego are different.
Are different. So, okay. But self-worth and ego can be related.
Correct.
Now, her self-worth has been determined by a sport.
Correct.
This sport is based on points. It's a man-made sport. The sport doesn't solve malaria in Africa. the sport doesn't bring children out of orphans, out of orphanages. Her ego and self-worth are actually determined in somewhat by an outside force. She's good at the game. The game, her success at the game is, and let's say she's playing Quidditch, right? No one cares. But because she's playing a sport that a lot of people watch and a lot of certain people watch, you know, so for the tiny miracles, for the frontline workers dealing with COVID crisis, they don't have a big as ego as Serena or Michael Jordan. Should they? Or is it the outside forces that determine how big or how self-worth someone's ego should be?
I think that it's about society. Like, obviously, that's like in each example that you like kind of talked about, like, it's basically society that gives you that like self-importance and tells you, hey, you're good at this. Hey, this is your thing. So, like, that's how you build ego, because your sense of self-worth is like dictated by what society says is important to you rather than what's important to yourself. So like a frontline worker, maybe they're not really caring about the prestige that comes with the job, but rather than just trying to help people, rather than, let's say, I don't know, a celebrity who's just like, oh, I just want everyone to love me, you know? Because like in that way, like, they could have the same ego, they could not, but that depends on like society's perception of them rather than their perception of themselves, you know?
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
So it does go back to how society and the peers, how they place value. For example, doctors are placed at a high value because of what they do, therefore they are paid well. They may not necessarily get the glitz and glamour that a celebrity would. However, it's still, they are still placed in a, you know, a level or hierarchy of value within society. So that's where their ego is and where their self-worth stands within that context.
Mm. I want to offer a different perspective. What about people who their ego isn't necessarily shaped by society, per se? For instance, I'm going to use myself as an example. My ego is going to remain the same, and I'm just waiting for the rest of society to catch up to me and to view me as one of the greatest. Like, you know what I'm saying? What if, like, I feel like I will still... It's, I believe that, like, for instance, LeBron believed he was the greatest basketball player in high school, on the Cavaliers, on the Miami Heat, on the Lakers, regardless. I feel like it is an internal ego that isn't necessarily created by society, but is the rest of society catches up. When you reach these accolades and accomplishments and buys into what you believe. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I mean, isn't that a little dangerous? And I think that we live in that world right now where everybody thinks that they're the ish. And it's like, well, okay, maybe you are. Okay, maybe you are. But why is it important for us to know that? Why is it important for you to think that about yourself? There's a God who is the greatest. And we are like, we're so insignificant in the grand scheme of things. I understand self-worth. I understand self-value. But at what point does that line get crossed, right? At what point does that line get crossed?
Well, we have to remember that. sorry, give me 1 second. But we have to remember also that those standards are there, and we compare ourselves. If we didn't have to compare ourselves to other people, then we could stand it within our power and have peace about being in our power, and it wouldn't have to be about being egotistical. It would just be, this is who I am, these are my capacities, and I'm proud of what I'm able to do.
Do you think Michelle Obama is egotistical?
I plead the fifth.
Aaliyah, do you think Michelle Obama is egotistical?
Listen, I don't know that woman.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. I'm going on a limb. Yeah.
Okay.
I got an ego. I feel like we as a society deem ego a bad thing. I think ego is a great thing.
Whoa. Okay. Now we have a debate. We have a slippery slope. Talk to me, Aaliyah.
Ego is a great thing. Ego pushed me to be way better. Like, go ahead, Aaliyah.
I believe, right? Everybody has an ego. You know, some people hold their ego to a higher, like, you know, my ego is like everything to me. My pride is everything to me. Some people can like step back and be like, you know what? I'm not all that all the time. But I mean, everybody has an ego. It's just, I feel like it's very subjective, and it's based on perspective. Like, if you view somebody that is super like passionate about what they do and feels like they want to be the best at it, if you view that as egotistical, then you know it's very subjective. Some people, to me, it's like, I feel like it gets slippery when your value starts to reflect the absence of other people's value. Then I feel like it gets like tricky, because just because you're amazing at something doesn't mean that like everybody else that is as great as you doesn't matter.
As long as your ego isn't hurting anybody, then it's okay, I think. Because like if you're just saying, ooh, I'm awesome, look at me going down the street, so cool, I'm so awesome. But as long as you're not pushing someone out of the way, like, get out of my way, I'm awesome, you can't be near me. If you're not doing that, then it's okay, you understand? Like, be, like, ego with, like, if people around you who you think are important to say, you're awesome, and you say, hey, you're awesome, that's great. Uplift each other, uplift yourself. But obviously, like, as long as it's not hurting anyone else, then it should be okay.
Is there not, I feel like it's a very North American philosophical perspective, the way that we like address our self-worth. Dictionary definition of ego is a person's sense of self-esteem or self-importance. I feel as though, I mean, that's just a dictionary definition. You know, we all know what it means in a sense. We know what it means when someone says that person is egotistical. Are we not able to grab self-worth, self-identity through things like humility? Can it not produce the same result? Do we need to have boosts in our ego that feel like a comparative to other people? I'm the greatest. Muhammad Ali would say, I'm the greatest. Greatest at what? You know, is there not another angle that we can look at it thinking, oh, wow, I've been blessed with a gift that I will try and embrace as much as possible. If we're talking about the arts, I've been blessed with a gift which I will use to serve the world. You can't take your racket with you when you die, right? Your basketball's not gonna be useful in the afterlife. And I hate to go spiritual, but even on this earth, can we not use things such as humility or our sense of compassion or a sense of sympathy with one another to be great for ourselves and for the people around? A great mother a great father. Are they egotistical? No, but they're doing their job. They don't have to tell everyone.
Yeah. I feel like particularly in the sports side, a lot of people, actually probably everyone that's playing like a professional sport, they have this, like, they want to be the best to ever do whatever they did, right? And that's just because you look at the people before you, right? And you remember those people, right? So you look at the people before Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, all these people, right? Wilt Chamberlain, and they're like, wow, these guys were amazing. Michael Jordan was like, you know what? I want to be better than them because I want to leave behind a legacy just like they did. So I can't take that basketball home. I can't take that basketball to the grave. But that basketball will use to, like, inspire millions, right? And the better you are, the more, a lot of times, the more you will inspire. And in arts, we often have competitions of art. Uh-huh. 100. Who do you want to be? If you're releasing a song, I want that to be number one. And it's not, a lot of times, I don't think it is in the sense of, at least not for those singers and those artists and those athletes, I don't think it's in the way of, no, I don't want you to be great. It's, I want to be greater than you. We can both be great, but I want to be greater than you. I want to be the best.
Have you heard the story of the person who ran the first, I think it was mile under a certain time. So, sorry, Eddie, go ahead. I'll just find the story.
I love what Shad you had to say. And I think I want to answer Ian's prior question about, like, fathers and, like, are they egotistical?
Absolutely.
I don't necessarily think so in the way that we're putting it. Like, if I'm a dad, I want to be the best father. There's a desire to be great. And I live in that desire. If I'm a boyfriend, I'd tell my girl, yo, you're not going to have a dude. I'm being the best boyfriend. You know what I'm saying? And I think there's a desire to be great. And even, you know, Ian, you're Ghanaian. Well, your parents will always tell you, be better than me. There's that type of ego that's in place in terms of those type of relationships. And I think what Shad also hinted at was this notion of legacy. And I think the older I get, I'm obsessing over things like legacy and, like, what do I want my legacy to be? I'm like, I'm 27 now. Elvis, like, a bunch of people died at 27 and they had a whole bunch of great legacies. And I'm like, what do I want my legacy to be?
And this is where I
tied to ego.
This is where I think a lot of things get separated. Picasso, yeah, sure, he can look at the at Rembrandt and be like, oh yeah, let me do something similar but different. It was like, no, this is fresh, this is new-ish. Einstein, yeah, you build off of something, but it's not like, I don't know how to explain it. If you're always comparing yourself to someone else, then you will never reach the potential. You should be comparing yourself to yourself. What is the greatest that I can reach? I'll read you a story real quick. So according to legends, experts said for years that the human body wasn't capable of a 4-minute mile. It just wasn't dangerous. It was impossible. Further legends hold that people tried over thousands of years to break the barrier, even when tying bulls behind them to increase the incentive to do the impossible. In the 1940s, the mile record was pushed to 4:01, where it stood for 9 years. Runners struggled with the idea that maybe the experts had it right. Perhaps the human body had reached its limit. On May 6, 1954, Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute barrier by running the distance of 3:59, 0.4 milliseconds as part of his training. He relentlessly visualized the achievement in order to create a sense of certainty in his mind and body. Barely a year after Bannister's accomplishment, someone else ran a mile under 4 minutes. Then some more runners did. Now it's almost routine. Even strong high schoolers today run 4 minute miles. What does this mean for us? Right? If the comparison is to someone else, and if the ego is in comparison to something else or to someone else, it's more so there has to be a mental, spiritual, physical, mind paradigm shift in order to break the barriers of our own consciousness or our own potential, I believe. And I'm not necessarily sure right now that that comes from comparison, comparative analysis, and having our self-worth dictated by others or by an outside force. I'm not sure.
Okay, question that, because like I agree with you that it shouldn't come into comparison, but from the time that you're young, this is what systems around us are like. In school, you have to have the highest grade. Yeah. Like, you know, it's everywhere. So how do you, I mean, I guess this comes down to parenting. Unless you are parented within a system or within a family that supports and nurtures you as you are, then your self-worth and your sense of self won't come from just your accomplishments or what you're able to do or, you know, where you are on the scale or on the hierarchy. That's what it comes down to, I think.
I actually have a counterpoint to what Shad said about, like, if you, like, want to be the best, like, you want to be the best out of, like, everyone. I feel like, why can't I be the best me? Like, why, like, ego and, like, I'm, like, why can't I be, like, the best of myself? Like, there's no other one to compare me to. Like, if I should compare anyone, I should compare myself to myself. And myself to my past self. So like that's kind of like the idea that I was coming from. Like I'd rather be like my best self, the greatest me I can be, rather than the greatest of something else. Because in the end, like I feel like even in my art personally, I don't do, like there was a time of my poetry when I was young when I used to write poetry to make other people to receive praise, and it wasn't the same as me writing for me, because personally when it comes to my poetry and my art, I do it for myself. I don't really do it for anyone else. I say the same things if I want to say the same thing. I write what I want to write about. I do what I want to do. I wrote a whole poem about saying how I will write what I want to write, and I don't care if I'm going to be scored on it. In the end, what I believe is going to be what I believe. If I believe it's good, then I believe it's good. If I believe it's bad, then I'm going to work harder at it, you know? That's kind of what I've been thinking.
Honestly, that really does make sense, and I feel like it's all based on perspective, right? Because if you're trying to best yourself, you can always do more, right? But when I'm trying to best someone else, right, there is a point where I'm like, okay, I'm greater than this person, right? So then then at that point, once you are at that point where you're like, all right, I'm the greatest to ever do it, right? Then you can look at yourself and be like, okay, I'm the greatest to ever do it. I beat myself last year. I beat myself yesterday, right? And I feel like people who try to best themselves, they are much less egotistical in that sense, because like you look at LeBron, right? The way, like obviously he wants to be the best ever. But the way he does it, I feel like he is constantly trying to do better by himself, right? He's trying to do what last year LeBron didn't move. LeBron on the Cavs didn't, right? So when he was in the first part of his career, he wasn't closing games. He didn't have that winning mentality. But once he got with to the Heat, he grew that, and he was like, okay, now I've bested myself at the Cavs. How do I do that again? Where Michael Jordan was like, okay, I'm going to beat everybody. Everybody, doesn't matter who you are, you. I'm going to be better than you, and I'm going to show to your face that I'm going to be better than you. And that is, like, again, that's a different way that they perceive themselves. Michael Jordan, he walks around, he's like, all right, I'm better than everyone. Anyone who thinks that they aren't better, they're better than me, I'm going to drop you down around. LeBron, he's like, obviously this person is great, yes. We're both, like, the top in the game. I personally think I'm better, but, you know, it's not the same type of intensity, I think.
Mm-hmm. T had a really great point. And I really wanted to hear more about it. You were talking about
Aaliyah had a hand up.
Aaliyah had a hand up?
Oh, no.
Can I go Aaliyah, then T?
Yeah, T go first. T go first.
All right.
Y'all are so wholesome. So I think you can create greatness through humility. And I think naturally you will attract it. Like, people will gravitate toward you, and all kinds of people will. Like, once you, I think, again, it's kind of more on like the whole spiritual side of things, where it's like, once you kind of create this, like, maybe it's internal peace. I don't know if it's internal peace or like internal like gratitude or internal benevolence, maybe. I think naturally, like, the universe will quite literally, like, you know, bring people to you, because, and people would probably want to be in your presence because of who you are, right? Like, I think of the artists that I really like, and I like them because when I'm in their presence, it's either like, I just got like a service, like a Sunday service. I feel grounded. I feel empowered. I feel seen. I feel heard. Right. And then, but this also comes from a more like, you know, what are your internal values? And like how, cause again, you want to be around the people who reflect what you want to be too. Right. And a lot of times when we see these idols, these pop stars, they reflect something within us that we want, like that we aspire to be as well, right? So.
And what aspect of that celebrity are we attracted to? You know, I look at Justin Bieber and it's like, oh, it'd be nice to have that dough. It'd be nice to have that kind of, you know what I mean? Yeah. What aspect of it, right? And so... Yeah, I think it's you make a really great point, is that we do want aspects of these people's lives. We envy them. And so when we get it, it's like, oh, look at these things that I have. But Justin Bieber also had to go through the process, right? He's going to church now, so. Aaliyah?
Yeah. Aaliyah.
Okay, so maybe I'm a part of like the okay, my perspective is a little different, I feel like, because I believe that all of this stuff, a lot of it comes down to just simple, like, human attributes that just come with being a human being. Like, you know, the thing that sets us aside from, like, other, like, creatures, animals or whatever, is things like pride, greed, ambition, all those things that drive us in life to do whatever we want to do in life. So as much as it's, like, you want to be the best yourself, you do look to other people for inspiration. And I feel like things like greed and egotisticalness, if that's a word, kind of is like the slippery slope that comes with all of those things. So it's completely natural to compare yourself, but like when it becomes unhealthy is when it gets like a slippery slope. Like, for example, people, not everybody's kryptonites is like unhealthy. So for someone who is not addicted, like not an alcoholic, they can drink and there's no problem with it. But when it becomes a crippling force or something that is like all you ever think about, that's when things become unhealthy. So I feel like it's like comparing yourself to someone, being like, you know what, you did really good, you inspire me to do well too, you know, if I end up being better than you, you know, it is what it is. Or like, we can help each other, you know, but like those things are like completely natural human things to like want to be good, and comparison just kind of comes with existing alongside other people that want to do the same thing.
Mm. Ooh.
Mm. So I put something interesting in the chat. I said that I think there's a difference between my ego is more so I want to be the greatest rather than I believe I'm greater than you. Lady M said that, but to be the greatest, you have to be better than me.
Facts.
And I think it's more so in the pursuit of being the greatest.
Why do you want to be the greatest?
But what does the greatest mean?
Yeah, and the greatest at what?
For instance, like if I'm running a 100 meters, right? Let's go back to track. It's very measurable. And I'm breaking records. And I'm like, no, I want to be the greatest me. I think track is a really great example because track is something that you compete with other people, but at the same time, I don't see you. Like, I can acknowledge you're great, but in my pursuit of greatness or being the greatest ever, it's not necessarily just about you. It's also about me and my pursuit of this obtaining the genius, as we talked about last week. It's so not necessarily a comparison thing as well.
So, but why? Why do you want to be the greatest?
Why wouldn't you?
No. That doesn't answer the question, Doc.
A lot of policy. Don't do that.
I feel like if I'm doing anything, I was talking to my therapist about this the other day. And she was trying to like break it down for me. She's like, I'm like, why would you want to do something if you're not going to be the greatest at it, or you're not going to be great at it? She's like, to have fun. And I was like, I guess, but like,
I'm going to read a quote by Martin Luther King Jr. If a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep the streets even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep the street so well that all the hosts in heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well.
Well, thank you, Ian. You just saved me. Thank you.
Here's the thing. I feel like what you said, yes, I agree with, like, if you're going to do something, want to be the greatest, strive to be the greatest, just because of a legacy that will leave. And I feel like that quote was
for the love of humanity, for giving something to the planet,
right? Like, you want to be like, all right, yo, this dude was a great street sweeper, I want to be just as great of a street sweeper, right? Like, he made the streets really clean, I want to do that same thing, right? It's on that same level, but not doing things because you're not going to be the greatest. Like, I know I'm not going to ever be the greatest basketball player. Personally, I know that. I'm 5'9". It's not going to happen. It won't work. Also, I have a vertical of like 20 inches. But I still play it because even though I'm not going to be the greatest, I could still try to be like, even if I'm not better than my friends, I could be better than my brother. Or I could be better than, like, even if I'm like, all right, 2 years ago, I wasn't doing what I'm doing now. Right, 2 years ago, because I've been playing for 2 years, now I can do like a left-handed layup really easily. Like, right, and it's fun to realize that it really is. Like, it's fun to be like to just look back at where you were,
mm-hmm.
contrast that with where you are now.
But wouldn't you like you practice in the sense like with the that you want to be the best you. It's in the pursuit of being the best you. It's more to me, ego is more of a pursuit than rather the end result.
Lady Emmett, I have a question about that.
I just want to add, like, kind of piggyback to what your therapist said, and it's the fact that there's so much pressure on being great and doing great and being the greatest that we forget to have fun. And that's why so many of us are struggling with depression. Like, we literally have forgotten the essence of why we do what we do, the passion and the love of what we do. And I'm talking about the arts now. Like, there's just, like, there's that added competition, and you're comparing yourself to the last poet that you heard, or, you know, the last song that you heard, and you're like, you know, taking notes on how you're going to make your own beat sound like that or sound better. And it's like, but, like, that just squeezes, like, the love out of what you did and the passion.
I feel like it, for me, it doesn't, though, because, like, I hear Shad on stage, and I get giddy. Shad make me want to write. You know what I'm saying? There's a passion behind it. I hear Imani on stage. I'm like, ooh, do you hear how she used that metaphor? And, like, there's the pursuit of, again, adding to that genius. The pursuit of
being
the greatest.
I can't speak for them necessarily, but I wonder what Shakespeare's thought process was. I wonder what if Lauryn Hill is looking at Nina Simone and being like, I need to be better than that, or can I dig into myself and find Killing Me Soft? Well, she didn't write that, but can I dig into myself and find Zion? So my question is, as you're going on the pursuit, what makes you, if it's a constant pursuit and you haven't reached the perfection, why is the ego involved if you are on a journey? Like, oh yeah, I've been walking so hard towards this place that I'm not there yet, but I'm the greatest at it. When these great classics are coming out, I wonder if they were sitting there thinking about another great classic as they created it. I think it comes from somewhere else. And that's kind of, you know, not that I'm trying to prescribe anything, but I feel like you can't let other people affect how you feel about you. You are a miracle.
Yeah. Again, I really believe that it comes down to even how, like, I've worked with kids for over 10 years. So it comes down to how they're nurtured, and their perception of self comes from the adult that they're around. If you tell little Timmy, yes, you can, and you support him in, I don't know, being an expert at picking his nose, guess what? He's going to grow up to be an expert at picking noses and mucus. Who knows? It could grow. I know.
I'm saying is that,
you know, when we encourage each other and allow that, that comes back to that compassion that we show each other, then we're actually stoking the fire, right? And we're allowing them to find it within themselves, like you were saying, find Zion within themselves. But you can't find Zion within yourself unless you have other people around you who see it and who can nurture that. So that ability to be humble and, again, walk within your own power, that doesn't come from just waking up one day and doing that. You do have to have sources that pour into you.
I love it. This is Black Pearl Residency. Beautiful discussion about ego. This next track, just because we've just been talking about it, this is Lauryn Hill, Zion.
Sure what the balance held, I touched my belly, overwhelmed by what I had been chosen to perform. But then an angel came one day, told me to kneel down and pray, for unto me a man-child would be born. Oh, this crazy circumstance, I knew his life deserved a chance, but everybody told me to be smart. Look at your career, they said, Lauren, baby, use your head. But instead I chose to use my heart. Now the door